AOPA presents Never Again, True Pilot Stories from the World of General Aviation. In this episode, a holiday flight in IMC over mountainous terrain nearly ends in disaster. Find out what happens in Easter Morning Disruption by Norris Brown. At 10:25 on Easter morning in 2010, I held up my hand to shield the sun as I searched for traffic, 2 o'clock, 1,000 feet above. All was smooth at 11,500 feet, above solid clouds and the rugged Washington Cascade Mountains far below. My entire family, parents, wife, kids, spouses, grandchildren, had gathered for the holiday that weekend, and now I was getting everyone home. 25 minutes earlier, I had dropped my youngest off in Everett and was heading back over the mountains to Spokane for my oldest and his family, and then to their home in Oregon. Until, that is, the number 2 exhaust valve failed, scattering pieces throughout the inside of my Cessna P210's engine. All I knew at the time was the engine quit, without even a sputter or a shake. I had lost an engine over inhospitable terrain hidden by a cloud layer of unknown thickness. My right hand firewalled the mixture, throttle and prop, and started trimming the airplane for an 80-knot glide, while the left hand hit the mic button long enough to transmit Mayday, Mayday. The prop was milling smoothly. Fuel must be the problem. Plenty of fuel in both tanks. Not acting like a vapor problem. Must be a failed mechanical fuel pump. Turned on the electric fuel pump. Nothing happened. ATC heard my Mayday, and I asked for radar vectors to the nearest airport, Lake Wenatchee State. They told me to head 092, and I set the heading bug on the HIS. I thought of the steep mountainous terrain below me. I couldn't help but picture a flaming ball of aluminum impaled on a snowy peak. I was trying everything to restart the engine. I found that with the mixture about halfway back, the engine started and kept running for about 10 seconds at very low power, and then it died. I tried again. Again it died. A sudden and violent tremor jerked me from my thoughts. The prop, which had been smoothly windmilling, slammed to a stop, vibrating like the tines of a tuning fork. 2 broken pieces of the number 2 piston had jammed between the crankshaft and the crankcase, causing the engine to seize. Of course, I didn't know all this, but it sure seemed like something had jammed inside the engine. To be sure, I tried the starter. The propeller didn't budge, and I descended into the clouds. I had a sectional map on the right seat. To open it up and figure my location and the altitudes of the pertinent peaks and ridges would have taken 30 seconds. Even a few seconds could have been the difference between slamming directly into the side of a mountain and certain death, or being able to pull up at the last second, pancaking in, or turning away. The latter options, while certainly not ideal, are imminently more survivable than the first. I kept both hands tightly on the yoke and glanced at the attitude indicator and HSI, making a minor correction to resume 092, and returned my eyes to the windscreen. Checking the instrument seconds later, I was surprised to find myself headed 20 degrees to the left, and most likely banked 20 degrees as well. ATC alerted me I was off the heading. I banked to the right. I leveled the wings according to the attitude indicator and looked back up for mountains and ridges. A few seconds later, I again looked down to check the heading and saw that I was again 20 degrees to the left. I started to correct back and then realized that when I lost the engine, the vacuum pump had quit operating. Without the vacuum pump, the attitude indicator gyro was winding down, and consequently I was unknowingly putting the aircraft in an unusual attitude following the dying instrument. Fortunately, the airplane had a backup electric vacuum pump, so I could avoid having to fly using partial panel. I flipped it on, and the attitude indicator righted itself, and I righted the airplane. 35999er Papa, Lake Wenatchee State's elevation is 1,939 feet, ATC reported. 99er Papa, cloud base is reported at 6,500 feet at... I checked the altitude and noted, radio contact lost at 7,500 feet. 6,500 feet came and went without breaking of the clouds. At 5,500 feet, the clouds thinned and exposed a mountain to my left. I turned right before the clouds thickened again and camouflaged the mountains from my view. At 4,500 feet, I was still in the clouds, but the multifunction display showed the airplane over the west end of Lake Wenatchee. I knew the airport was the same elevation as the lake, so crashing into a mountain was no longer my concern. Now I needed to break through the clouds with enough altitude to try to find a place to put the airplane down. Thankfully, that happened as I descended through 4,000 feet MSL, 2,000 feet AGL. I was still 3.9 miles from the airstrip, and after some quick mental calculations, figured I would end up in the trees 1 mile short. Below me was what appeared to be a snow-covered field. I set about doing all I could to quickly descend, while also slowing the aircraft. I dropped the gear, set full flaps, and started an aggressive slip, trying to create as much drag as possible. Now the horrific picture in my mind changed, from the flaming ball of aluminum on a mountainside to an airplane catching a wing and cartwheeling across a field. I repeated it to myself, "Fly the airplane." I was 2 feet off the ground, watching trees at the end of the field that quickly increased in size as I neared. I decided to hold the airplane steady and allow it to hit a fence post if necessary. If so, at least I would be at a good attitude and under control. Wham! Upon later inspection, the nose gear and fence post destroyed each other, but I was holding steady. 70 yards later, the main gear settled down through the snow and buried itself 6 inches deep in the mud of a bog. The airplane slowed so quickly that the next 200 feet there wasn't enough speed to keep the wings level. The left wing dipped, tapped the ground, and bounced up, forcing the right wing to the ground, slewing the airplane 60 degrees to the right before stopping, 50 yards from the end of the bog. I patted myself down to reinforce the thought that I wasn't injured and got out of the airplane to check for fuel leakage and fire. When I found none, I re-entered the airplane and got on the radio, calling on the emergency frequency. A United flight picked me up and relayed to ATC that I was down and okay. Don Nelson, the owner of a nearby cabin, walked out of the woods. We surveyed the damage together, using my phone to take pictures of the wingtips, two bent prop blades, and the missing nose gear and a collapsed right main gear. Nelson took me to his cabin and offered me coffee, tea, and a soak in the hot tub with his trunks. I took the tea, and 5 minutes later, all the emergency personnel showed up. While they checked me out, I answered questions. The NTSB later determined that fragments of the exhaust valve entered the cylinder, shattering the piston inside and smashing the spark plugs. If the P210 had not been turbocharged, all the debris would have likely exited the engine unencumbered out an open exhaust pipe, resulting in an underpowered, shortened flight to the nearest airport with one cylinder down. As it is, the P210 is turbocharged, and the exhaust leaving the engine rotates a turbine on its way out, powering the intake compressor of the turbocharger. The shrapnel got caught in and jammed the turbine, stopping it and plugging the exhaust valve for the still operating cylinders, thus incapacitating the previously unaffected cylinders and stopping the factory new engine. I didn't know that at the time. My hosts had to head home, but left me with a hidden key and all the chili I could eat. My daughter arrived a few hours later. We did the dishes and set them to dry before locking the door, rehiding the key, and starting the long but thankful drive home.
The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.